Gracious Father, we just come before you and just lay ourselves once again at your feet. Father, we just come before you with all stripped away. And we just ask, Father, that you will prepare our hearts and our minds for the words that you give to us tonight. In your precious name we pray. Amen. I'm sure, first of all, I'll ask if any of you know this chorus. I'm sure you do because it's an old chorus. It says, there's joy in following Jesus all the way. There's joy in following Jesus every day. His love is like a rainbow when earthly skies are grey. There's joy in following Jesus all the way. And I cannot believe that none of you know this chorus. It goes, there's joy in following Jesus all the way. There's joy in following Jesus every day. His love is like a rainbow when earthly skies are grey. There's joy in following Jesus all the way. It's a beautiful chorus, and it's a chorus that remained with me from the age of 13. I'm going to ask if you know another one, please. I'm not singing the next one. I'm just going to ask if you know this one. Joy, 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 down in my heart. Yes, brilliant. So we're going to sing it through once just because we know the words. We won't go into all the other verses. It's just that verse I want, okay? Joy, 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 down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. I've got the joy, 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 down in my heart. Glory to his name. And then it goes on, doesn't it? So I've got the peace that passeth understanding. But we're not going to go on there. I was going to say, I'm sure you've all heard these choruses somewhere along the way. As you've been growing up. And it's very important that words stay with us because there are times in our lives when we need those words to carry us through. Tonight, I thought I'd just like to look at a few minutes at Christian joy. I think very often in life we confuse Christian joy with joy. And I think people who don't believe wouldn't understand Christian joy and joy. Because people say, don't they, how can you be happy in a bad situation? How can you smile when you're carrying that on your back? But we have a Christian joy, don't we, which carries us through. So I was just wondering tonight what the average person's concept of a Christian is. Just a little story says there was a man waiting in line at a checkout. He seemed agitated and impatient and had a very solemn and gloomy look on his face. When the cheery young woman at the checkout said, "Good morning," the man just grunted. The woman was trying to loosen the man up by joking with him, but it was quite obvious that he wasn't in a joking mood. Finally, the young woman said, "Sir, can I ask you a question?" The man sighed and said, "What? Are you a preacher?" "No," the man replied. "Why do you ask?" "Well, no offence, but you seem miserable." "I am," said the man. "I've had the flu for 3 days." I know men won't agree with that, but I'm sorry. Someone once said, the religion that makes a man look sick certainly won't cure the world. Sadly, many people have the same view of preachers, of Christians in general, as does this young woman. Their concept of Christianity is that of being deprived of the good things of this life. Now, granted, many of the things that the world calls good, we as Christians should want no part of it. Even so, there are those who feel that Christians can't have fun of any kind. One reason many people think that Christians can't enjoy life is because of the way that some of us act. Sadly, many Christians go through life enduring their Christianity instead of enjoying it. Many of God's people haven't come to understand that one of the characteristics of a spirit-filled life is that of joy. We need to change the way that people look at us, the way that people look at Christians and Christianity in general. They see so many miserable people instead of joyful people indwelled by the Spirit of God. People need to see joy in us. The joy that being in Christ can give us. The joy that lifts us up and holds us up when the stresses and hardships of life come along. We have so much for which to rejoice, don't we? And we should never be afraid to express our joy wherever we are. I want us to take a look at from where our joy comes and what our joy does. We know that our joy is God-given. When we talk about joy in Christ, we're not referring to a frivolous joy. It's not shallow. This is not simply a joy that one might experience if you went to Disney World or the Fun Fair, or if you get to tell a joke and get a smile on your face, that type of joy. This is a joy that can only come from above. It is God-directed and Spirit-filled. It's a joy that isn't dependent upon our outward circumstances, nor is it depleted by our outward circumstances. Jesus wants each one of us to be joyful people. John 15:11 says, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. And in John 17:13, I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they, my disciples, may have the full measure of my joy within them. I just don't believe that Jesus wants us to keep this joy that we have hidden. When the Ethiopian eunuch accepted Jesus as Lord and was baptized, Luke records that he went on his way rejoicing. If you're not happy, if you're not joyful, it could be that something is missing from our relationship with God. I found it very difficult to understand the meaning of Christian joy after I'd been saved for so many years, when things came along and they knocked you off your seat. And I couldn't understand how could we as people still be joyful when the pain we were feeling inside was so great. But through prayer, God shows us how we can have that joy in our hearts. It's obvious that God wants us to be happy, joyful people. He wants us to enjoy our relationship with Him, not just to endure it. He wants us to enjoy life and live life to the full. Living life to the full is not based upon how we look, how well educated we may be, our status, what we may own, but it's upon our relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Our joy shows the world what God has done for each one of us. The psalmist is describing people who are ecstatically happy and they're not afraid to show it. In fact, it's by demonstrating their joy and laughter and singing praises that prompts the world to look at them and say, the Lord has done great things for them. I wonder what people think about our God when all they hear from us sometimes are complaints and gripes and negative things. When our friends or our neighbours or people we come into contact with see us more miserable than joyful, or more frowning than smiling, or sighing more than we laugh. Will they say, look at those Christians over there? The Lord has certainly done great things for them. Or is it more likely they will say, whew, look at those poor Christians. Following God surely makes their life miserable. What do you think tonight will better attract others to Christ? Christians who look and act happy, or Christians who look and act miserable? If being a Christian makes us miserable, then we may just be serving God simply because we're afraid of him and not because we love him dearly. The psalm depicts the Israelites coming out of captivity, and they cannot contain their joy. They are seen laughing and singing and praising God. They cannot help but openly express their joy in this manner. We too have come out of captivity. We were held captive by Satan. Through Jesus Christ, we have been released from bondage. So we too have something to really be happy and joyful about, and to be singing and praising God. Do we underestimate the contagious power of a joyful life? Do people enjoy being with us? Or do they duck every time they see us coming because we're down in the mouth, depressed, agitated most of the time? Do we take life too seriously? I'm not saying that we don't have problems. We don't have things that are weighing us down. We don't have things that we have to live with every day. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is we have to portray God's love and the joy that God has put into our hearts to other people. Otherwise, they will never want to come to know our God. People have enough heartache and sorrow in their life already. That's where they gravitate to those who have a joyful outlook on life. There should be no greater joy in this world than what can be found in the Church of Christ Jesus. Our joy helps us to see adversity from a different perspective. Christian joy, we know, is not merely a feeling, but a quality that cannot be destroyed by difficulties. Christian joy helps to focus on the good, even through times of adversity. It helps us to look at life from a proper perspective. A proper perspective does help us to look at our troubles differently. Our attention on the things, it helps us keep our attention on the things that are really important. A man that comes to mind in the New Testament who would not allow his troubles to deplete his joy in Christ is the Apostle Paul. One example is found in Acts 16, which I'd like to read. Bear with me a second. Acts 16:22-25. The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten. After they had been severely flogged and were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully, upon receiving such orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. What if we had the opportunity to interview Paul while he was in that dungeon? What do you think he would have told us? Paul and Silas, are you in there? Yes, we're in here. What have they done to you? Well, we've been stripped and severely beaten. At the moment, we're extremely uncomfortable because we're placed in stocks. Paul, we just want you to know that we are so sorry to hear about what you and Silas are going through. We're over here praying for you because you must be discouraged and bitter and feel all alone. We can only imagine how bad you two must feel. Yes, it has been tough, but we know that God loves us. In fact, Silas has just suggested that we sing a couple of verses from Count Your Many Blessings. Then we're going to sing Give Thanks with a Grateful Heart. And He has made me glad. It is tough, but we still have reason to rejoice. So this joy comes only from knowing Christ. There's no other reason for Paul to rejoice in times of adversity. Yet it's interesting to note that the problems Paul faced were all because of Christ. Yet his joy being in Christ outweighed any suffering that he endured because of him. So let's be ever grateful that in Jesus we have reasons to rejoice, even when times are tough. Nothing that Satan can throw at us can deplete the inward joy that we have in Christ. If God can take Jesus' cross and make the symbol of sorrow, suffering, and shame into a symbol of victory and joy, He will cooperate with you and me, converting the worst things that happen to us into the ultimate good for us and Him. In Jesus, we must rejoice evermore. Once again, the psalmist speaking for the Israelites coming out of captivity said, our mouths were filled with joy, with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. Have you ever considered how important laughter is? I'm glad that God has given us the ability to laugh. Aren't you? Someone once wrote, laughter is the universal language. You can laugh in any language and it will be understood. So as your children, grandchildren are being reared, it's easy to slip into the habit of being critical and cranky. I know. When your body is racked with pain and arthritis, or you find yourself confined, or you consider you find one morning that you're losing all your hair, or you think you're no longer young and you look in the mirror at the wrinkles that are coming, and you're no longer 40, and you have a granddaughter like mine that tells you. Remember, it's easy to feel sorry for ourselves, that our pessimistic attitude will drive everyone away. So we must keep laughing. If you can laugh at it, you can live with it. Laughter is the cheapest luxury human beings have. It stirs up the blood. It expands the chest. Electrifies the nerves. Clears away the cobwebs from the brain. And it gives the whole system a cleansing rehabilitation. So please let us remember that the joy that we have in our hearts is a Christian joy. A joy that comes from God above. A joy that no one can take away, even when we feel at our lowest. And and help us. Ask God to help us to show other people that joy. May they see that Christian joy living in us. Shall we pray? Father God, all we want in life is to be like you. All we want is to take your message out there to those that don't know you. And Father God, we can so easily get bogged down by the things of life. And sometimes things come along in life to knock us off and we find it hard to get back up. But Father God, we have that joy within us. That joy that comes from you, and we just ask that we will show that to others so that we may see other people coming into your kingdom to love and to serve you. And tonight, Father God, if any of us feel that that joy is missing in some way, then I just pray that we will come back to you, that we will just bring ourselves back to your feet and ask you once again to fill us. In and through the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen.